Bring out your songbook and open to page 91. Dear Lord Jesus, I cannot thank you enough. Your goodness in my life is so great, it is great. I cannot thank you enough. Your goodness in my life is so great, I'm grateful. Dear Lord Jesus, you died on the cross for me. You resurrected and ascended back to heaven. And then now you are building a mansion for me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your work. Since you saved me and transformed my total life, you give me the kind of care I can't receive elsewhere. A very great shepherd you have been to my life. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your care. Here in the world, your Holy Ghost is with me. He is supporting me in every area of my life. With him on my side, I know I can never fail. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your help. There is no weapon Satan has not used to fight me. For your protection, I am still able to stand today. You have made the devil a failure in my life. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your shield. You fill my life with abundance of goodness. My spouse, my children, and so many other blessings. The peace of mind and the joy you give to me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your peace. Holy Bible you give to guide us in this world. From it every day I receive knowledge and wisdom, understanding and the spiritual nourishment. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your book. The fellowship of your people in the church has been a major source of encouragement to me. As we sing and pray and worship your holy name, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your saints. Listen to the tune, we'll then sing it. Lord Jesus, I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough. Your goodness in my life is so great, it is great. I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough. Your goodness in my life is so great, I'm grateful. Dear Lord Jesus, you died on the cross for me. You resurrected and ascended back to heaven. And then now you are building a mansion for me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your work. Dear Lord Jesus, I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough. Your goodness in my life is so great, it is great. I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough. Your goodness in my life is so great, I'm grateful. Since you saved me and transformed my total life, you give the kind of care I can receive elsewhere. A very great shepherd you have been to my life. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your care. Dear Lord Jesus, I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough. Your goodness in my life is so great, it is great. I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough. Your goodness in my life is so great, I'm grateful. There is no weapon Satan has not used to fight me. For your protection, I'm still able to stand today. You have made a devil a failure in my life. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your shield. Dear Lord Jesus, I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough. Your goodness in my life is so great, it is great. I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough. Your goodness in my life is so great, I'm grateful. You fill my life with abundance of goodness. My spouse, my children, and so many other blessings. The peace of mind and the true joy you give to me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your peace. Dear Lord Jesus, I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough. Your goodness in my life is so great, it is great. I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough. Your goodness in my life is so great. Holy Bible you give to guide us in this world. From it every day I receive knowledge and wisdom, understanding and the spiritual nourishment. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your book. Dear Lord Jesus, I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough. Your goodness in my life is so great, is great. I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough. Your goodness in my life is so great, I'm great. The fellowship of your people in the church has been a major source of encouragement to me as we sing and pray and worship your holy name. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your sins. Dear Lord Jesus, I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough. Your goodness in my life is so great, it is great. I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough. Your goodness in my life is so great. I'm grateful. Shall we stand up to pray? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, my Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, my Lord. Thank you. In the morning, thank you. In the evening, thank you. All the time, I thank you, my Lord. I thank you, Lord. Alleluia. Alleluia. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you. In my house, I thank you. On the road, I thank you. Everywhere, I thank you, my Lord. I thank you, Lord. Alleluia. Alleluia. I thank you, my Lord. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given me. I can never repay, but from my heart I love to say that I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given me. I love to say that I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given. I can never repay, but from my heart I love to say that I thank you. I keep watching for the dawning of tomorrow, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. All the troubles of today will then be over. God will wipe all the teardrops from my eyes. Sing it now. And this life will live on be a memory. We are here today. We'll be gone tomorrow, when we praise the Lord through all eternity. Today we are getting ready for the final journey, and we are making plans to live in a new home. Soon the starry sky we prove the glance of glory, and the sounding of the trumpet will be done. We are here today, we begun tomorrow, and this life will even be a memory. We are here today, we begun tomorrow, when we praise the Lord through all eternity. Our Father,
you are the Lord of life. You are the source of life. You are the sustainer of life. Thank you for our lives. We give you glory for the way you preserve our lives, for the way you keep us in your will, for the everlasting life you have given to us. We thank you for Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Our Lord, our Savior. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, our Master, the Lord of the harvest. Thank you for his comfort.
Amen.
Thank you for his support.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for his assistance.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for his illumination.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for all the revelations.
Thank you, Lord.
We are grateful to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you for your Holy Bible.
Thank you, Lord.
The word of life you have given to us.
Thank you,
to guide us, to lead us in this world of perils.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As we sit to study at your feet this morning, we pray you will be pleased to release more of your revelations to us.
Amen.
Give us the understanding we need.
Amen.
So that in this life, we will live for you.
Amen.
In eternity, we will live with you.
Amen.
And it shall be well with us.
Amen.
Satan, you have no part in this gathering. You have no place in this gathering. You have no part in this study. Stay away from here.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
Father, everywhere people will listen to this teaching on the net, cassette, CD, and any other means, as you bless us here, bless them there.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Another amen.
Amen.
My God is great.
Welcome to Bible Pattern Church, where we pattern our lives according to the Word of God. This is a church where the Word of God is being preached without adulteration, where the power of the Word is being demonstrated, enjoyed, and the true miracles of God is being experienced every time. The message you're about to listen to is preached by Pastor Z.A. Ogunsanya, the General Overseer of Bible Pattern Church. He is a very anointed but humble man of God, dynamic pastor, teacher, evangelist, and songwriter who practice what he preaches. Our church headquarters is located at end of Adewale Adegun Avenue, Karole Estate, by Estate Bus Stop off College Road, Ifako Ijaya, Lagos State. You will definitely have a touch of God as you listen to this message. Remain blessed.
We are continuing our study about death, burial, resurrection, and related issues. When we started the study, we said that three things will end the sojourning of people, various people in the world: death, rapture, and the judgment of the living nations. We also looked at the erroneous ideas about death. And we said that the devil, in his wickedness, has taught a lot of people things that are not correct about death, so that they will not be able to have the right attitude towards death and related issues. After that, we studied about some important facts about death. We said death was a separation and not a cessation of being. That when the spirit and soul gets out of the body, is the time a person is said to be dead. We also looked at some other facts, such as the fact that death was not part of the original plan of God for man. Death is a universal problem. Death is not beyond the control of God. Death is the end of human activities in the world. The dead has no right over any earthly possession. The greatness or smallness of anyone does not continue with him after death. Death is not the end of man, and also the fact that death will not kill forever. The next study was about the types of death. Under that, we looked at spiritual death, death to sin, physical death, and eternal death. We explain what each of these is all about. And after this, we looked at the need and how to prepare for death. Under that, we said that though our preparation should be for the rapture of the saints primarily, since one does not know whether we will be alive in the world at the time of the rapture, it will be necessary to prepare for both. We also look at the what death will mean to believers in Christ, what death will mean to unbelievers, and what should be the believer's preparation for death. The next topic that we study was believers' attitude to death, the dead, and bereavement. Under that, we said that death was a universal problem, and it is too real to be denied. Under this, we examine what believers' attitude should be to death generally. And we explain that we should not fear death, because whether one fears it or not, it will surely come. After that, we look at what should be believers' attitude to bereavement. We said to be bereaved is for one to lose a loved one. We said we must not, because of this, go into any pagan practice, and we must not sorrow the same way unbelievers sorrow, and we must not neglect anyone around us or among us that is bereaved. To be of assistance to such people, we gave some counsel. After this, we looked at how to weep wisely, and that was the last topic. How to weep wisely, as well as how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. About weeping wisely, we said that women need to weep to obey the commandment of God, because sometimes it calls for weeping. We may need to weep to weep with those who are weeping, to draw attention to God, to draw the attention of God to our condition, and so on and so forth. If you are not in any of the studies, I would suggest you get the CD or the cassette and listen to it. You don't know when we'll come back to this series. In fact, getting the cases, the set of cases and CDs generally will be very helpful, because a day is coming that you will need the teaching, and we may not be studying the topic. Hallelujah. Today, we want to look at the burial of the dead. Everybody say it. This is what we are often involved in, because whether we like it or not, people will continue to die. There's nothing we can do about it. People will die. And when they die, we bury them. You may be the one to decide on how a particular person will be buried. Maybe because the person is close to you. If you don't know what you need to know, you will not be able to do what you need to do. If you don't do what you need to do, you will not experience what you need to experience. And that may be a very serious problem.
at the end of the day. Burial of the dead is a very serious thing in this part of the world. And it has created a lot of problems for some people. We have even heard about family members quarreling with one another about how their loved one will be buried. As I am talking now, we have a member of this church in the mortuary somewhere that will be buried later. As I'm talking now, last Sunday, I mean yesterday, the workers here were told that, do we call her S member? Or she's still a member? She's living not around here. She's attending another church there. Nevertheless, we still see her as our sister, whose mother is to be buried this weekend. We need to know about it. Hallelujah. Somebody will say, which member of my pattern church is in a mortuary somewhere? Brother Sunday Doctor Uyo Pastor lost his mother-in-law. The mother-in-law attends Bible Pattern Church in Kolekiti. The pastor, they have discussed with me. The family are talking about the burial later, so time. How do we go about it? She's in the mortuary. Hallelujah. Though we have the record of how some godly people were buried in the Bible, however, the Bible surely does not prescribe a specific pattern of how the dead, godly or ungodly, should be buried. Nevertheless, since it is necessary to bury those who die around us, we discuss the burial of the dead here. I'm going to rush the following, taken from Encyclopedia Britannica. It will be helpful to us. Throughout history and in every human society, the disposal of the dead has been given special significance. The practice was originally motivated not by hygienic considerations, but by ideas entertained by primitive peoples concerning human nature and destiny. This conclusion is clearly evident from the fact that the disposal of the dead from the earliest times was of a ritual kind. Paleolithic peoples, such as the Neanderthals and later groups, not only buried their dead, but provided them with food, weapons, and other equipment, thereby implying a belief that the dead still needed such things in the grave. This very significant practice can be traced back to great antiquity, possibly to about 50,000 BC, if there is anything like that. The ritual burial of the dead, which is thus attested from the very dawn of human culture and which has been practiced in most parts of the world, stems from an instinctive inability or refusal on the part of man to accept death as the definitive end of human life. Despite the horrifying evidence of the physical decomposition caused by death, the belief has persisted that something of the individual person survives the experience of dying. In contrast, the idea of personal extinction through death is a sophisticated concept that was unknown until the 6th century BC, when it appeared in the metaphysical thought of Indian Buddhism. It did not find expression in the ancient Mediterranean world before its exposition by the Greek philosopher Epicurus, 341 to 270 BC. The belief that human beings survives death in some form has profoundly influenced the thoughts, emotions, and actions of mankind. The belief occurs in all religions, past and present, and decisively conditions their evaluations of man and his place in the universe. Mortuary rituals and funerary customs reflect these evaluations. They represent also the practical measures taken to assist the dead to achieve their destiny and sometimes to save the living from the dreaded molestation of those whom death had transformed into a different state of being. End of quote. You know what? What we need to first bear in mind as the people of God is that how a person, a dead person is buried, does not have anything at all to do with him. It is not going to rescue him from hell if he died as a sinner. Neither will it affect his position and condition in heaven if he died as a follower of Jesus. Do you hear that? We are looking at three things under this study. Various methods of burial, how people were buried in the Bible days, and how to conduct a Christian burial. I think we are more concerned with how to conduct a Christian burial. But before we get there, let's quickly look at the preceding points. Various methods of burials. The dead are not buried the same way everywhere. Some are placed in the holes of the ground and covered with earth. Others are given to wild animals to eat, and some are cremated. We first look at cremation before going to look at other forms of disposing human remains. Cremation. Cremation is a form of burial through which a dead body is burnt to ashes before it is placed under the ground, scattered in the air, poured into a river, kept in a special place, etc. After dead bodies are cremated, in some cases, the ashes are now buried on the ground. In some cases, the ashes are scattered, sometimes in a place considered to be holy ground. For example, when the former Prime Minister of India, Indira Gandhi, a woman, before she died, she gave instruction that after her cremation, her ashes should be spread on the mountain of Himalaya. They said she considered herself to be a daughter of Himalaya mountain. And that's what they did. Sometimes such ashes are poured into rivers. Sometimes such ashes are kept in special containers and hidden somewhere. When it's not common to cremate the dead in Nigeria. But a few months ago, I don't think it's up to 3 months now, the Ondo State government prescribed cremation as a method of burial in Ondo State because of the problem of Ebola. Because when the dead is buried, the liquid coming out of the body, part of it will sink into the ground. If it is not too far from a river, a stream, a well, whatever, you still find something from that body entering into the stream, into the river, into the well, and you fetch the water and drink. So as to prevent Ebola virus getting to people through that means, Ondo State government, current Ondo State government said, people that die of Ebola should be cremated. I'm not sure they are even limiting it to Ebola victims. Though we have not had any Ebola case in Ondo State, and we pray it will never come there. Praise the Lord.
The following is taken from Microsoft Encounter, the encyclopedia. It talks about cremation. Cremation practice of burning human corpses. In cremation, the body is reduced to ashes in specially constructed furnaces. The ashes are then preserved in an urn and are either buried in the urn or are scattered, often in accordance with the wishes of the dead or of the deceased, for instance, at sea or over sacred ground. Evidence of cremation dates from antiquity. Pottery vessels from the Neolithic period, filled with the ashes of several individuals, have been found throughout Europe. Between 1400 BC and 200 BC, cremation was the preferred burial custom, especially among Roman aristocrats. The Caesar families were one of many to choose this mode. Between the 3rd and 19th century, Christianity became widely accepted. Its doctrines forbade cremation because of the belief that the body could not be resurrected if it were destroyed. Early Jews also prohibited cremation, believing it was the desecration of a work of God. Orthodox Jews, the Eastern Orthodox Christian churches, and Muslims are still forbidding to cremate their dead. Other groups of people, especially in India, continue to practice cremation and still today. At present, cremation is practiced by some Jews and Christians and by Buddhists, Sikhs, and Hindus. Economic and sanitary considerations are the principal reason for the increased number of cremations in recent years. Expanding populations have created land shortages, causing a space for burial to become scarce and expensive. In addition, burial can sometimes contaminate water supplies for entire communities. This is especially serious when death has been caused by a highly contagious disease. A society advocating cremation was founded in England in 1874. Although initially, opposition was great to the modern revival of cremating the dead, strict legal requirements to determine the cause of death allay opponents' fears that evidence of a murder might be destroyed by cremation. There are still other forms of burial apart from cremation. Encyclopedia Britannica talk about some of them. Let's quickly read this from Encyclopedia Britannica. I quote, "The disposal of human remains by depositing in the earth a grave or a tomb, by consigning to the water, or by exposing to the elements or carrion animals. Geography, religion, and the social system all influence burial practices. Climate and topography determine whether the body is buried under the ground, placed in water, burned, or exposed to the air. Religions and social attitudes determine how elaborate the burial should be. Rank, for example, may determine whether the body is placed in the shallow trench of a simple burial or in an underground chamber of expressive dimensions and construction. Inhumation. Burial in the ground by hollowing out a trench in the earth for the body or covering it with rocks or dirt dates back at least to Middle Paleolithic times. Grave burial or inhumation may be simple or elaborate. Some Eskimo people cover the corpse with a pile of stones, or these stones are not available, with a small ice igloo. The old Norse people built barrows that sometimes reach enormous height. In North America, large burial mounds were characteristic of Eastern Indian cultures from 1000 BC to AD 700. Graves may be mere shallow pits, or they may be intricate and beautifully fashioned subterranean palaces sunk deep into the earth and spacious enough to accommodate vast numbers of persons. Excavations of the royal graves of Ur, dating back to about 3000 BC, revealed in an inner chamber of one the body of a ruler with a few intimate attendants, and in surrounding chambers servants, ministers, dancing girls, charioteers with vehicles and animals, and other persons who had been slain to provide service in death. I'm sure you heard that. Recent discoveries in Peru reveal that the Paraca burial chambers, hewed out of solid rock, 18 feet, that is 3 meters, below the surface of the ground, were large enough to accommodate as many as 400 corpses, with all of the belongings that it was thought they would need in the afterward. Customarily, however, graves have been planned for the burial of individuals. Caves, a natural refuge of humans, have also been used for the dead. The ancient Hebrews used natural single chamber caves and hewed oblong recesses lengthwise into the walls to accommodate the dead, a custom that encouraged the building of mausoleums, at first regarded as sacred places. They came to be considered unclean. By the time of Christ, they were coated with lime so that they could be recognized and avoided the literal origin of the metaphoric whitest sepulchres. Among many people, however, sculptural caves continue to be regarded as sacred and eventually became places of worship. Among them are thousands of rock temples in Western India and in Sri Lanka, Ceylon, some of which received elaborate architectural and sculptural treatment. Both caves and earth graves encourage the development of other burial practices, the use of coffins and rich grave cloths and burial goods. Even the positioning of the body came to acquire significance, generally of a religious nature. Customarily, the body is placed in an extended position in or out of a coffin, as if in sleep. Bodies of Muslims are laid on their right side and facing Mecca. Those of Buddhists are laid with the head to the north. The bodies of ancient Egyptians were placed to face towards the west, perhaps as an indication of the importance of the land of the dead. Not all groups prefer the sleeping position. Early cultures bury their dead in a crouching or squatting position. In Babylon and Sumer, the sleeping position was reserved for the more exalted servants killed and buried with their rulers. Servants killed and buried with their rulers were placed in a crouching position so that they would be ready to serve to royal command. Indians of the Americas often bury their dead in a fetal position, sometimes in a basket or clay urn, with knees under the shin and the body neatly tied into a death bundle. Upright burial has been favored by other people, particularly for warriors. Water burial. The association between water and immortality is reflected in the myth of many cultures, myth that often center on a god hero who sails away from his people in death with the promise to return again. The bodies of chiefs and heroes, therefore, have often been set adrift on rivers and oceans in dead ships. Among the Norse, even those who were interred were sometimes given such a bier, a custom that was widespread from Iceland to England during the 7th and 8th centuries AD. Perhaps the most famous of such ship burials that had been excavated was that at Sutton Hoo in Suffolk, England. In one mud, archaeologists found the remains of a wooden boat for 38 rowers, 85 feet, 26 meters long, that had been dragged a half mile, about 1 kilometer from the river and lowered into the ground. Water barriers have been common in other cultures. In the South Pacific, it was customary to place the dead in a canoe and launch and so on. I better stop here. What you have seen from all I've read is that various methods of burial are practiced in various culture. I watched on CNN this year, some months ago, maybe about 2 or 3 months ago, a form of burial that I saw for the first time. You know the way they bury in that culture. The fellow is carried to the bush. Then they will prepare wood. There's a way they arrange the wood. Part of it cut. The rest will still be in the ground. They arrange it and place the dead body. Okay, this is the way they do it. They do a kind of share with the wood. Part of the trees will still be in the ground. So they cut the branches and they tie it with rope and make it to look like shear. Then they will place the dead body in a sitting position on the shear, place his two arms in the front of the shear, and they position the head as if he's looking at the village or towards the village. That's a method of burial. I watched another one on CNN that when a person is dead, he will be placed inside the room in a standing position and water will be coming out of the body. Is the head of his family's first child will now go there, will be using something to take the water to rub his own body. So will he be smelling? Another one, they will place the body on top of fire as if you want to roast it, and that will force some liquid to come out of the body, and they use it the same way. There are so many other methods. But before I continue, before we look at how people are buried in the Bible days, I want you to understand the uselessness of all these rituals. Years after, archaeologists will come to the site and remove the body for experiment, analysis, and so on. Even those who are placed inside the pots and kept in special sacred places, a day is coming that the sacred place will be needed for road or a construction. And they will dig the place, bring out all the pots, pour out the ashes, and begin to analyze them. Some were placed inside the specially made ship and then allow the water to carry away. Some will allow the water to carry from one position to another. They will follow it. When they get to the place they want it to carry, they now bring it out and arrange. We've heard about some people who bury their dead by placing the dead body on top of trees. Lokegi. Some will bring the dead to an open place in the bush for animals to eat the flesh. Some will place the body somewhere until the flesh, everything will go out. That may take years. Then later they will go to gather the bones and bury. All the thing they are doing is to help the dead. And some even prepare special mansions, like the kind of cave described there. I read one up to you just now that will contain up to 400 corpses with all the material they think each of them will need in the great beyond. That would be a big house. We are told that some royals, queens, kings, when they are to be buried, many people will be killed and buried with them. And they position them in a way that the charioteers and their chariots will be buried, so that in case the king wants to travel, the chariot will carry him about. Servants will be positioned in a way that if the king gives command, oh yeah, come. He will answer, do a dead body also. Come. Christianity of the Bible, the new Christianity, makes us to understand that anybody that is dead, his case in the world, his book in the world, is what? Closed. Anything you do to a person that is dead, you do it to those who are living, not the dead. The dead has no part in it at all. So it's often said that let us give him a befitting burial. There is no befitting burial anywhere. Tell somebody. You didn't say it well. Say it again. Go to where Obafemi Awolowo, the father of Yoruba politics, where he's buried. You will see that traffic there must have seriously reduced. Go to where Nnamdi Azikiwe remain, is kept in the east. You may be surprised, no dignitary visited the place in the last 3 years. But when they initially died, anybody that wants a good position in Yoruba politics must go to Ikene and reach that place and rank Adede Baba. They are no longer rank Adede in India. Because the people there rank Adede, rank Adede years back. Where are Orogun? Orogun Leila, where is he? Oromiyan, where is he? In Ijebu Ode, there is a, will I still remember the name? Is it Yemule? I hope I do not miss it. Ijebode is not far from my village, and I live in Ijebode before. There is a particular arrow they said when he was to go, he spread a net on the... Okay, I think they said there was a kind of flooding that would have destroyed the town, if I still remember the story well. And when people were panicking, didn't know what to do, this arrow decided to put an end to it and actually spread a net, on a mat on the water, and sat on it and used the water carried him away, and thus the flooding was removed. You say, can this be true? Go to ask them. Let's look at how people were buried in the Bible days. The general practice among the people of God in the Bible days was to place the body of a dead believer in a hole dug in the ground, in a cave, or in a sepulchre dug inside a rock. These are the three common practices. A trench is made, the body is placed in there and covered with sand. In some cases, the body is taken to a cave, natural holes inside rocks, and the body is interred there. In other cases, laboriously, holes are made inside rocks where the dead bodies are placed. In the Bible days, you may read Genesis 23, 19, 49, 30, 31, 35, 8, Deuteronomy 34, 6, Joshua 24, 33, Mark 15, 43, and 46. Some were buried in their houses, like in the case we have in 1 Samuel 25 and 1 Kings 2, 34. It was very common for people to be buried in the family sepulchre. Judges 8, 32, 16, 31, 2 Samuel 3, 32, 19, 35, 1 Kings 15, 24. The complaint we have in the next scripture shows that believers of old did not see the type of burial mentioned therein as a good one. I read it to you. Psalm 79 verse 2. The dead bodies of thy servant have been given to be meat unto the vows of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. It was a complaint, and it suggests it dislike that form of burial. The record of the Bible shows that the first person to be buried. Answer. Who was the first person to be buried? Are you thinking before you answer? Who was the first person to be buried? Abel. Who said Adam here? Abel was the first person to be buried. And the record of the Bible shows that he was likely to to have been buried in a hole of the ground. How do you know? Genesis 4, verses 9 and 10, I read. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground.
The message you're listening to is coming to you from Bible Pattern Church. You can get this message and thousands of others on various topics on cassettes, audio CDs, and DVDs from Bible Pattern Church headquarters, end of Adewale Adegun Avenue, Karale Estate by Estate Bus Stop, off College Road, Ifako Ijaye, Lagos State, or other branches nationwide, or you visit our website www.biblepatternchurch.org. Happy listening.
The following are the types of places people were buried in the Bible days, according to Torrey's topical textbook. Natural caves. Caves hewn out of rocks. Gardens. Under trees. Top of the hills. Houses of the deceased. City of David for the kings of Judah. And so on. Torrey's topical textbook further says that the following were how bodies were treated for burial. The body was washed before. Acts 9:37, for example. Anointed for. Matthew 26:12. Wound in linen for. John 11:44. I'm sure you understand all these cases. The body was washed before it was buried. Like that of Stephen. Anointed before burial, like that of Jesus, wound in linen, like that of Lazarus that Jesus later resurrected, preserved with spices, sometimes burned before. You know that of Jesus too. In fact, the women wanted to go there the third day to add some other things. Sometimes burned before, carried on a briar, a biara, perfumes, born art, antiquity of coffins. You have the case of Jacob in Egypt. Often took place immediately after death, or persons embalmed, defiled for 70 days, or persons hanged always on the days of execution, the right of all nations, of enemies sometimes performed by the conquerors. End of quote. Our main focus in this study is where we have reached now. How to conduct a Christian burial. Everybody say it. First and foremost, Christian burial, non-Christian burial is not important to the dead. Say it. None. You know what that means? Don't waste your time telling your children, when I die, put my head down, put my leg up. My right hand should be on the ground, my left. Any side you turn to the ground, you are where you are going. And if you are the Baba Iseku, your loved one died. Don't worry yourself about how your brothers and sisters want your daddy to be buried. Whichever way your daddy is buried has nothing to do with your daddy, and it will have no effect on you. When my father died, my senior brother, the firstborn of our daddy, was the first person to tell me, we are not too close, though we are not having any problem, it's only that we are not close. He called me and said, daddy is dead. Hey, how are we going to do it? He later told me the preparation he has made as our father in the house. And then how we should come, how we will do it. And I traveled down. And I told him on phone that anything you do is what we are going to do. Anything you say is what we are going to say. And when we got there, we did everything.
we bury our father. He now, no, we have not buried him. Because it was the day we buried him, I left. The night we do waking, after the waking, all the arrangement is set. You know, my father attended the last church he should be considered a member was Bible Pattern. Though he has not thrown away his membership of Anglican Church. You say he was doing the two? I think so. But he was aged already. So he managed to come to church. And the church was not too close to our house. Because the church was located in front of the house of our grandfather. And he was living down this side. But he used to go until he could not go to any. When he stopped going, you know, Anglican, they took Holy Communion more regularly than Bible Pattern. And we don't have the practice of taking it to people in their houses. Though I don't think it's a sin anyway. So Anglican people, whenever they do Holy Communion, they bring it to him. Though he was no longer going out and was no longer doing any work, he was still expected to be paying his tithe. And if we send any money to him, I'm sure they have a way of collecting the tithe out of that. To cut the long story short, it was the Anglican people that did the burial. When the burial was to be done tomorrow, we do wake this night. My senior brother, we are now discussing this family, whatever. And suddenly he began to pray for me. And was blessing me. Seriously. He said, I have been told you will not allow me to bury our father. I can't remember everything he said. But he actually expressed surprise with the way I handled the whole thing. Allow him to take decision. And any decision he took was the final. So he was surprised. He thought I would come as G.O. Maybe some people have told him that your brother is G.O. You know, I'm sure you know the meaning of G.O. There is G.O. There is G.O. You know the difference between the two. So he thought I would come as G.O. How can you say you are G.O. before your father? I'm sure kings still bow to greet their parents. Is that correct? Everybody in the city will prostrate to the king, but when the king sees his father, he knows this is my father. So he was surprised. So he blessed me, prayed for me, he was happy. And do you know that since our father died, we have become closer than before? I don't often call people. Say, are you sure? These days, MTN is trying to treat me specially. I was asking people, is that how they sent to all of you? They said no. I told you, there was a day they call. This, that, they say some beautiful things. I said, any credit you buy, you are going to have times three of it. You use it to Kinecon. And I've heard something like that from somebody that when they give it to you, that's what they say. I've not tried it. When the 3 days expire, all your money there, including their own, will vanish. And that gave me the opportunity of talking to the woman. When he finished, I said, whoa, come. I'm not interested in your extra whatever. I'm already, since I've been using only MTN, and I'm considering switching to another network. Because when I call, I'll be saying hello. Hello, they will not hear. And you take my money. He said, is it like that? What type of phone do you use? I use LG. The way she was talking, I know they didn't want to lose their customer. Some days after, I saw her receive another something. He said, any credit you buy, you will have times five of what you bought. They now give a longer period. You will use it on the Zozo. I did not even bother. I said, the last one I received, I was traveling. He said, any credit you bought, you have times three. I said, I didn't bother. Is it a series that I will bother? Oh, I've almost forgotten what brought me to MTN. The issue I'm trying to tell you is that my brother was happy with me. And then I said, we have been close. Okay, that's what brought me to the fact I don't often call people. So he said, how come that you use the credit they talk about? I call you. Night, day, they call. You said,
Some people say witches don't pursue Bible pattern because of that they don't trouble you. They don't trouble me the way pastors are troubled. Nevertheless, there are questions I must answer. Children that have gained admission will call me. That my admission I ask you to pray about, it has clicked. I'll be going to school tomorrow. Will you pray for me? What should be my answer? In many cases, those children, they will flash. They don't have money to call. And I've told you, if Satan flash me, I will call back. Have I not told you? I've told you. When he wanted to talk to Jesus, did Jesus run away? Jesus waited. When he asked question number one, did Jesus say no more? Jesus waited. He asked number two. He asked number three. Every question he asked will bring extra blow to him. And that's the way I've been treating him. 419, they called me. And I hear them. You have won $1 million. You will get it tomorrow. Sometimes I say, what God? Oh God, be it. She rule me, don't win $1 million. And do you want to tell about Lucifer win? Le buruku. It shall be well. So the point I'm making is that I don't often call, but he has been calling me. After today, now he may call again. He will greet me, ask me to give Lord. Most of his children now, you know, he's now our father. Most of his children are in Lagos. And I'm the Baba in Lagos. Don't forget, I'm not the next to him. I still have another one between me and him. The point I'm making is that I did not worry myself about how my father is buried. Whichever way you bury him, it's of no consequence. I'm sorry I've been saying this, and you won't like me for saying this truth. Many of you came, many of you supported me, you assisted in various ways, but to tell you the truth, I don't expect you to come. I never instructed anybody, announce to people, my father is dead. I did not send invitation card. You won't see if invitation card, call C. You won't see. You say why? Whether you come or you don't come, my father is gone. If I'm not careful, your coming can even place extra burden on me in case you don't know the way I think. That's the way I think. When you come, if there is the need to sleep, who provides where you will sleep? Hey, Downey. Eh? Me now. Say I get house there. My papa house there, my senior brother is in charge. If he brings his friend, which one do we first house? His friends? What about other children? Then why should I give myself unnecessary burden bringing all of you so that they will know I'll be pastor of Bible pattern source? No, if you want to see the opportunity to do crusade, I will order all of you to come. Come and do crusade. People create themselves unnecessary problems. If you see the way people suffer before and after burying their loved ones, you wonder if there is another thing in it. In my village, it's a common practice for people, especially women, to enter a job. So why are you doing a job? You say, don't know, my mama is of age. Then when they hear that anybody died, they want to go there. Anybody is doing burial, they want to go there. You know why they are doing it? So that when their mama died too, people will come. If you don't come, that's your wahala. If you come, you have business there. If it is three people, will bury him. Is that correct? And it won't be three. Relatives will come. Children will come. Baba Salah called them a name in those days. He called them a name. That is people you don't invite. But are looking for chop, will come. Obe Yoto will come. You know the Obe Yoto? Those Ibadan drummers. Dun, dun, dun. Orun re ni yolo. Dun, dun, dun. When they finish drumming, oh, your food. When you give them food, they say this soup is not enough. That's the meaning of Obe Yoto. They will come. If it is a church matter, some members of the church, you're already having a crowd. Some people will get angry. When my papa died, he did not come. Why must everybody come? Are they the sharer to carry your father to the great beyond? You say, burial is not important. Sincerely, it is not. What we are about to look at here, I'm reading just as I wrote in the book, is just a suggestion. A man of God may have a reason to do it in a different way. In fact, most of the time, young people are buried in a very simple way and without much ceremony. Is that correct? Like I've earlier said, how a person is buried does not have anything to do with the person at all. It is not going to make his position in the great beyond better or worse. And therefore, the ritualistic and wasteful activities often attached to burial ceremonies are altogether useless. The attitude of Jesus to ceremonial burial can be seen from what he told a man in the next scripture. Matthew 8:21. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. That's the attitude of Jesus. I'm not using this to suggest that we should not bury the dead. What I like to say, is that the fact that the person we are burying is of age does not mean we should forget that we are children of God and then begin to do everything like the unbelievers will do it. It is common for unbelievers, when they are burying loved ones, to spend excessively, organized night parties, invite worldly musicians, provide alcoholic drinks for guests, etc. To be able to do this, sometimes they have to go into borrowing, some even go into stealing, another evil means to raise money. No true child of God will go into such a practice. As children of God, in obedience to the word of God, we must do everything moderately. Even weeping, mourning, invitation of guests, the buying of things, coffin, grave cloth, etc., preparation of food, we must do everything moderately. I'm not saying you must use mats to bury your father. But I just want you to understand that the type of coffin you use to bury your father has nothing to do with your father. Is that correct? Is that really correct? While we were at OC, I told you we had a problem at OC this last term. And that was where we slept because our vehicle broke down. As we were passing through the city, I didn't see it myself. Somebody was trying to draw attention. Say, see what they used to bury, carry dead bodies here. There is a kind of cat, iron cat, the omolanke, made of iron. Then the motor to pull it was horse. So they placed the coffin on it and the horse rider. That's what they use in that OC something. Now, when we later came back, we were in the mechanic workshop. One of the people there was talking to one of the mechanics. He said, he used Yoruba. She, kekelogun, abieshi. They were making jest of what happened there. Did he ride the cat or the horse? That's the dead body. Do you hear what the other mechanic said? In the hearing of all of us, Brother Ruben was there. Who again was there? Raja, he was there. The man said, "Yeah, it's okay. Cool, I hear you. He said the suffering he suffered when he was alive was what he continued. After that, I'm sure the children within that they were honoring their loved one by using a horse to carry the body. The man said it was suffering." We couldn't laugh. 1 Corinthians 7:31, and they that use this word as not abusing it, for the fashion of this word passeth away. Philippians 4:5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Galatians 5:26, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. What are we bringing out of all of this, brethren? Whatever we need to do
in burying our loved ones must be done moderately. Is that settled? What true children of God normally do at the time they are burying their loved ones is that when unbelievers are doing their party, they will gather people together to preach the gospel unto them. This may include singing of crosses, hymns, and special numbers, preaching of salvation message, etc. There may also be the eating of physical food. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Your father is dead. You want to do the burial. If you call the church to come and do revival there, who will come? While unbelievers are doing their ceremony, you preach your tent far away somewhere. Some people will come there to eat your food. They will preach the gospel to them. Do you understand? Hey, who are you? So we go for uniform dress. Hey, by me, Masha, Asha Oku, Baba, me. I don't believe in such practice. What is important is that your father has died. You are now a fatherless man. So that you get closer to the Father in heaven that can truly father you. That's what is important. What you should do to honor your parents is to take care of them when they are still what? Alive. Give them good food. Give them good dress. Let them live in a comfortable environment as much as it is possible for you. The money you spend on their burial, spend it on them when they are still alive. It will be more beneficial to them. Buy, CD player. Buy a lot of messages. Buy Ashodun, join the two together. Cloth for the New Year or something. Plus the dedication something. Carry the two. Say, Mama, this is the cloth you will wear. So in the morning you listen to this one. In the evening you listen to this one. This is generator to supply power. Then this is the food you will be eating. You are preparing your mother, your father for burial. When she dies, anything the family decides to do, if they like, they bury her in the middle of the night. Oh, come on. If they say it's early in the morning, let them do it. Don't waste your time. Anything you can do, do so that they will not say Christianity does not allow them to bury their father. Oh, that's why we go. Otherwise, we can even leave it for them. What did I use for your father just now? You didn't hear? I use it. We can even leave it for them. That my father, I hate it in Jesus' name. My father is he. When your father is breathing, is he. When he's not breathing, is it. Maybe you don't know that English use he, she, use pronoun, masculine pronoun for animals. When animal perform an act, they said the donkey carried the load from Elisha to Oshobo. She was not tired. They use she for the donkey carrying something. Goat, we use he, she, when they perform certain things. She delivered the baby peacefully. When a human being dies, grammatically, it is wrong to use he. We now use it. Why? It has returned to dust. Now, today, the burial of believers that are of age often have the following five parts. Wakekeep, lying in state, funeral service, interment, thanksgiving service, prayer for the living and not for the dead. Quickly, we look at this before we pray. Wakekeep. These are to do with the gathering of church people, children and relatives of the dead, and other well-wishers at the residence of the dead
or any other convenient place to sing, pray, and share the word of God before the day of burial proper. The following is a sample of the order of Wake Keep program. Opening prayer, choruses, hymn 1, Bible reading 1, testimonies, hymn 2, choir ministration, exhortation, prayer, announcement, hymn 3, prayer and benediction, refreshment. The Wake Keep program is often done in the evening and lasts for around 2 hours. It is noteworthy that the corpse is not necessarily brought to the place of waking. Lying in state. This is the act of placing the body of a dead person on a stage so that people can have a look at it for the last time before burial. The coffin containing the corpse is placed on a table in an open place where people will walk past to have a look at it. Though I do not know the beginning of this and the main purpose, I know that it usually affords the people around the opportunity to know that it is the correct corpse that is being buried, and also to see the face of their loved one for the last time. It should be noted that not all Christian burial includes lying in state, especially when the person to be buried is considered to be too young for this and some other ceremonies. Next is funeral service. The definition of the word funeral that has to do with our discussion is given in the Microsoft Encounter Dictionary as follows. Ceremony for somebody who has died, a rite held to mark the burial or cremation of a corpse, especially a ceremony held immediately after burial or cremation. The funeral service is a church program held either in the church or the resident of the dead immediately before the interment. It is a program of singing, praying, and preaching. Here is a sample of the order of funeral service. Opening prayer, choruses, hymn 1, Bible reading, choir ministration, sermon, prayer, announcement, hymn 2, prayer and benediction. Then interment. All that is to be done at the interment is to commit the body to the grave. There could be the singing of hymns, brief exhortation and prayers before and after the body is put into the grave. Brief exhortation and prayers before and after the body is put into the grave. I have a story here of how David Livingstone was buried, but you can read that on your own when you have the book because of our time. Whatever is done, if you remember at the beginning, I said all we are looking at here, they are just suggestions. A pastor might decide to do it in a different way. For example, when we went to bury who? Fadipe. I learned something I didn't know before. When the body was placed in the prepared grave, the normal thing is for loved ones to come and pour sand. But the minister, I'm sure that must be redeemed practice. The minister said, we don't pour sand on the body of our loved ones. You rather wave your hand and say bye-bye. You know that since then, I've conducted one or two burials since then. I didn't allow pouring of sand. You say, you copy that one, I copy him. It sounds better in my hearing than instead of throwing sand. Though whether you throw sand or you wave hand does not concern him. But at least symbolically, it says something in the heart of the loved ones. Because I don't see anybody throwing that sand with joy unless the enemy of the dead. Ha! You've never seen where they bury a person. Even when elderly people died, by the time they call the child, come and throw sand on your father, usually tears flow. It's not the tear of the sand, but the tear of saying, ha, so it's truly gone. I don't know the genesis of throwing sand, but I'm now thinking that the reason they throw sand is that tomorrow you don't use police to arrest us and say we bury your father alive. You are the first to throw sand before we help you to throw sand. If your father knows that, why do you throw sand? No, I'm not sure if that is the case. Because usually it is the firstborn. And they make sure all other children throw. In fact, the wife must throw. Anybody that can raise objection tomorrow, they make sure you throw the sand. If there are a camera, they take their picture, video man, video them. No, I don't know that if that is the problem. But I'm so sure that if that fellow go to court tomorrow and say, my father was not really dead, but this community, they decided to bury my father alive, they say, see your picture. Who throw this sand? Now, where are you burying your Baba? No, I'm not sure. And I do not say where they throw sand, they do well or do wrong. Is that what I said? But I felt that method of not throwing sand is okay. You know when they throw sand, they say ashes for ashes. I've never said that. You say, all the people who are buried before, go and throw sand. Some people will be helping me to say what the preacher, the pastor supposed to say. I don't say. You say why? But then you say fire for fire, oil for oil. You don't reach where. Don't reach where they go. Now, Thanksgiving service. This is limited to the burial of aged people. It is a church program under which the children and other relatives of the dead go to give thanks to God for the successful burial of their loved one. This is either made a special program or just a segment of a regular Sunday service of the church. The order of program depends on the type that is adopted. If it is just a segment of a Sunday, regular Sunday service, the thanksgivers are simply called to the altar by the officiating minister, after which they will be prayed for. Some of the rest members of the church may join them for the thanksgiving. They will then drop their thanks offerings in the offering plates that will be provided for the purpose. And that becomes the end of the burial program. If it is made a special program, the officiating minister will determine how the program will go depending on the amount of time that is available. But surely, there will be singing, preaching, praying, announcement. There could even be entertainment, either in the church premises or the deceased residence. Lastly, prayer for the living, not for the dead. I bring this as a separate point here so as to draw attention to the fact that none of the prayers said at a Christian burial program is to be for the dead, but only for the living. Go to Anglican church. Go to some other Orthodox churches. They pray specially, Oluwa, you help us to carry this fellow and put him in Afeferere. Make his kiniko. It's a waste of saliva. Before you start that program, that fellow is already where he's going. His condition is fixed. Some people say judgment day has not come. Yes, you are already in a place of bliss, joy, peace, or a place of sorrow and suffering immediately after your death. The judgment that will come later for believers is to determine the reward for the good done for God. The judgment that will come later for unbelievers is to determine the severity of the suffering in hellfire. The dead cannot benefit from the prayers of the living in any way. All the prayers said must be said for those who are alive. Hallelujah. So if you want to pray for your loved one, pray for him or her while he or she is still, if he's in a coma, breathing, but is no longer conscious, you can still lay hand, you can still pray. Pray salvation, pray anything you like, if he's still breathing. Once he has breathed the last breath, don't waste your saliva. Your prayer will not work. We do not have one single example of praying for the dead in the whole of the Bible. Search your Bible very well. Old and New Testament. We have examples of people buried. But you won't see one place, even in the Old Testament, where the dead was prayed for. So it is very important for us to bear in mind this fact. Whatever is done for and at the burial of the dead is for the benefit of only those who are alive, not the one that is dead. And therefore, all our prayers should be for those who are still alive. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 5 says, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Talking about their physical body anyway. Job 7:9. As a cloud is consumed, I'd like you to keep this scripture in your heart. Very important. Job 7:9. As a cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house. Neither shall his place know him anymore. Did you hear that? Yeah? I want to quickly read what Elwell Evangelical Dictionary says about prayer for the dead. Very quickly. Prayer for the dead. No passage of Old Testament or New Testament enjoins or even implies this practice. Of the single passage in the Apocrypha which appears to allude to it, it may be said that text, translation, and interpretation of 2 Maccabees 12:44 are all uncertain, and that there is considerable evidence that Orthodox Jewry of the intertestament period rejected prayer for the dead. In canonical scripture, the Christian soul is spoken of as at once with Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:6, 8, Philippians 1:23. The Lord promised the penitent thief paradise today, Luke 24:43. Scripture everywhere regards death as the end of man's probatory period. After death, even prior to the resurrection of the body and the last judgment, the soul is fixed in a permanent state of bliss or misery, Luke 16:19-31. Hence, prayer for the dead are at best irrelevant and unnecessary. The apostolic fathers do not mention prayers for the dead. The custom seems to have arisen in the church at the end of the second century. In the Roman Catholic Church, the practice is an integral part of an erroneous system of salvation and is particularly connected with Roman teaching on purgatory, indulgences, and the mass. The liturgies and confessions of Protestant churches do not contain as prayers for the dead. Lastly, in conclusion, I like to say that since the dead does not benefit from what is done in the world after them, and because of them, it will be better, wiser, and more beneficial to spend good amount of money to take proper care of our loved ones, born again or not born again, when they are still alive, than to waste money on an unnecessary elaborate funeral programs after they are dead. The greatest lesson I think anyone partaking of this study should learn from this study is that anything you want to give to your parents, your loved ones, give it to them when they are still alive. Don't go into debt. Don't create unnecessary problem for yourself by spending abnormally, excessively on the dead. Some churches will even charge you. You must buy a new door for the church. Like Bible pattern now, we ask you to do the tithes. Anything that is currently their need, they ask you to do. But children of God, it is illegal. It is illegal. Don't misunderstand me. A family may decide that we want to buy altar for the church, a remembrance of our father. If you write remembrance of your father and bring it here, I won't allow it here. Where is that one remembering my father? Not be me, be pastor. Where is the remembrance of my father? Where be saying that your father will go come to remember? Say, so I can't bring something. If you don't write remembrance of your father, but you just bring it, we will allow it to be there if you are a member of this church. So anytime you come to church, you see, you remember your father, say, now my father, now I buy that share with it there. Finish, nobody quarrel with you. But for you to write it there, go and place it in your sitting room so that you can be remembering your father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if you are growing, tell your children, give me my rights, cloth, food, house. If they will use a king of Ibe, horse, let them use horse to carry you now. Amen. Some children will carry good car. They go to carry their baba. They put driver and say, make they carry my papa to anywhere I won't go. That one better. I know a place where they use wooden aircraft. Have you seen anything like that before? One con. Plane in you. The only thing that is not there is engine. beautifully painted. That's where they used to bury the dead. Some used sheep, okojomi, any window, any bugwe. Afikweni wa anule oli yoju sita. Stand up and let us pray.
Jesus, Yarama, help me. Let us talk to him now. Jesus, Yarama, help me. I will live all my life always serving you. Jesus, Yarama, help me. Everybody sing it now. Jesus, Yarama, help me. Talk to him like you mean it. Jesus, Yarama, help me. I will give all my life always serving you. Jesus, Yarama, help me.
Look at me. I know a topic like this does not attract more members to the church. If you want to invite somebody, we are doing Bible study in our church. I'd like you to come. So, what do you know they study? Death. Burial. But I am not here preaching and teaching because of those who are outside. Primarily, I'm teaching because of those of you who are inside. And it is my duty to take care of all your needs. All. And whether you like it or not, one day you will need this. Thank God for this. Thank God for the opportunity you have to be part of this. Preparing you for everything. Not only this brief life, but also eternity that has no end. Not only for the things of this life, but what will happen in the great beyond. Thank God for it. It's a privilege. You will then pray, Father, when I'm to make use of these things, may they be readily available to me. At such a time, may I not be confused. May the devil not be able to mislead me. At such a time, may I know the right and do the right.
In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we appreciate you for how you are treating us, how you are ministering to us, for how you are preparing us. Take all the glory and honor in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank you for your Bible that is so full and perfect, complete with everything we need to be the type of people you want us to be. Thank you for your minister. You have also ordained to search the scriptures and to compile them one after the other. Like the Ecclesiastes said, that because the preacher was wise, he sought for knowledge, wisdom, acceptable teachings, messages. Father, we thank you for the grace of God upon Bible Pattern Church and for the understanding you are giving us. Take all the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we pray that may we not despise this grace that is given unto us. For the grace to make use of these things appropriately so that we not live our life like fools. We not live our life like spiritual illiterates. But we live our lives as people who have the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the way of God. Thank you, Lord, because of our heart. Pray that more grace shall abound upon the source of this ministration. And the labor will not be a labor of loss.
Amen.
But it will bring benefit here now and also in eternity.
Amen.
Thank you because you have heard us.
Thank you.
When we will need to make use of these things, give all the grace to remember.
Amen.
And to use the knowledge acquired effectively.
Amen.
So that it will mean that we really have true wisdom. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
We trust you have been blessed through the message you just listened to. To enjoy more faith-lifting messages that will prepare you for today and eternity of blessedness, visit Bible Pattern Church Headquarters, end of Adewale Hadegun Avenue, Karaoli Estate, by Estate Bus Stop, off College Road, Ifako Ijayi, Lagos State, or other branches nationwide. Or visit our website www.biblepatternchurch.org. Contact us today for any godly counsel you need. Feel free to send your prayer requests to us and share your testimonies with us. You can also send your questions to us at BiblePattern1983@yahoo.com or BiblePattern1983@gmail.com. Bible Pattern Church is a living church where you can learn the way of God, know the mind of God, and do the will of God that will lead you to your home above. Bible Pattern Church, the only Bible, is a pattern in all things.